This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Today we read 2 Timothy 2, verse 26. Look what it says. And they may recover themselves, or they may, or maybe a better translation would be, they may rebound themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. By the way, folks, how many of you know we have an enemy? And our enemy's the devil. We're not battling flesh and blood. We're not battling one another. We're battling the supernatural. Our enemy is the devil. And that they may rebound or recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let us pray. God, I simply pray and ask that you would add your blessing to the reading of your word. And for all you do, we just want to praise you. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about rebounding from failure. Rebounding from failure. I'm not an anthropologist, but this is what I know about every person that's listening to me, and I certainly know this about the person that's speaking. We have all experienced failure. We have all experienced failure. But that verse that I read says that you may rebound out of the snare of the devil. I think this is what happens many times. I think many times people, because of the snare of the devil, in their finances or in their family or in their marriage or in their health or in their occupation with vices and addictions and various things, we fail. But here's what I've learned. If we're not awful careful, after the failure, we're taken captive by it. The failure happened a long time ago, but the failure continues to control us. We constantly beat ourselves up, and we live a life of defeat because we're wallowing in the fact that we failed. It reminds me of the story about two monks, and the monks could not physically touch a woman. And they were out one day walking, and they came to a river, and there was a lady there, and she needed to cross the river, but they couldn't physically touch the woman. But one of them decided he would. So he picked the woman up, and he carried her across the river, and he set her down. And then the two monks left, and the one monk said to the other monk, "You touched the woman, and you weren't supposed to." He said, "I know." And 2 hours later, he said, "You touched the woman and you weren't supposed to." He said, "I know." And at the end of the day, he said, "You touched the woman." And he said to him, "Let me tell you something. I picked the woman up. I carried her across the river. I set her down. But you're still carrying her. I set her down. But you're still carrying her." And tons of people had failure, and they're still carrying the failure. They're still beating themselves up. But God said he wanted us to rebound from failure. I've spoken at a few events of late, one I spoke at and one I simply prayed at. But at both of these events over the past few months, there was a basketball player there, and he was pretty easy to spot. His name was Shaquille O'Neal. By the way, he's a wonderful man. He's a big guy. He's just a gentle giant, got a beautiful heart, and he simply said to me, "Pastor Benny, my mama told me to respect all people." He's just a wonderful, wonderful man. and spending a little time with Shaquille O'Neal and getting to know him just a little bit, I started researching Shaquille O'Neal. And I found out something. I found out that he only shot about 50%. That is to say, he missed one out of every two shots that he took. So I did more research. And I started researching the NBA last year. These are the best. These are the pros. And I found out that the shooting percentage of the pros is 46%. 46%. Now, I'm not good in math. I always said if you were right 90% of the time, who cares about the other 5%? Amen? I'm not good in math. But I figured out something. If you shoot 46%, that means 54% of the time you miss the shot. So what that means, in order to be successful, you got to rebound. And what I've learned about life, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to miss a lot of shots. You're going to miss a lot of shots. And the secret to a successful life is rebounding from failure. Because we're going to fail. But you got to learn to rebound from failure. Michael Jordan said this. He said, I've missed 9,000 shots. Michael Jordan said, I've lost over 300 games. He said, 26 times when the game was on the line, I shot and missed the shot. Michael Jordan said, I have failed over and over and over, and that's why I succeed. I have failed over and over and over, and that's why I succeed. Let me tell you something. The secret to life is you've got to learn to rebound. You've got to learn to say, though I cannot go back and make a brand new start, I can begin right now and I can make a brand new end. And I started studying the great people of the Bible, and I learned something. The great people of the Bible knew how to rebound from failure. Let's talk about some of them. Moses. Moses was a rebounder. He rebounded where face was involved. Moses rebounded where face was involved. Let me tell you, if you know anything about Moses, he was a Hebrew. He was an Israelite. But you know the story. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He was raised in the palace. But he reaches 40 years of age. And one day at 40 years of age, he looks out there and he sees the Egyptians mistreating his people. And you know what he does? He kills that Egyptian, buries him in the sand. And word gets to Pharaoh. And Moses said, oh no, I've got to get out of here. And Moses goes to the backside of the desert for 40 years. For 40 years, the murderer, Moses, is on the backside of the desert. Did you ever think about this, folks? The guy who said, thou shalt not kill, was a murderer himself. He's on the backside of the desert. But after 40 years, God appears to him in a burning bush. And he says, Moses, I want you to lead my children. I want you to lead my children out of bondage. By the way, this is all I'm going to say. They were God's children, but they were in bondage. And I know tons of people in the church. They're God's children, but they're in bondage when the Lord wants them to be free. They were in bondage. He said, Moses, I want you to lead them out. You remember what Moses said? The Bible says in Exodus 3 and 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? What was Moses saying? He was saying, wait, God, I'm the one who killed the Egyptian. Are you sure you can still use me? I'm the one that messed up. Are you sure you can still use me? Oh, folks, God can make a message out of your mess. God can make a testimony out of your test. God can take that egg that's so scrambled up and make a delicious omelet out of it. See, it was Moses that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was Moses God gave the Ten Commandments. It was Moses that God parted the Red Sea. It was Moses that God rained manna down from heaven. It was Moses that God brought water from a rock. C.S. Lewis said it best. C.S. Lewis said, Satan's strategy is to get Christians preoccupied with their failures. From then on, because he knows the battle is won. If he can get you preoccupied with that marriage that didn't work out, if he can get you preoccupied with that job that you lost, if he can get you preoccupied with your past sin, your past substance abuse, and your past failure, he knows the battle is won. Moses said, No. I'm going to rebound. Let me tell you about another guy who rebounded. His name was Thomas. And Thomas rebounded where faith was involved. Say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I'll be honest with you, I'm just struggling in my faith. That's okay. I want you to understand, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Doubt's when I have faith, but I'm struggling in my faith. There was a man in the Bible, his name was Thomas. He was one of the disciples. They refer to him as Doubting Thomas, but I don't think they probably should have. Because when Jesus went to the cross, the disciples forsook him and fled. But then later, after the resurrection, Jesus comes to the 11 disciples. And the 11 disciples say to Thomas, Thomas, Jesus stopped by. I wish you could have seen Jesus. Thomas, while you was out doing something, Jesus stopped by. Thomas said, unless I can see the nail prints in his hands and in his feet, I'm not going to believe. What was Thomas doing? He was struggling in his faith. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, when we go through hard times, we struggle in our faith. Sometimes when we go through hard times, we say, where's God? But look what happened. And after 8 days, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. You said, Pastor Benny, what do you say? I'm saying rocks and tombs can't keep him out, walls and rooms can't keep him in, amen? Somebody said, it's a good thing that stone got rolled away where Jesus could get out. Oh, get real. That stone wasn't rolled away where Jesus could get out. That stone was rolled away so they could see in. Jesus walked through the stone. Jesus said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, this so blessed me. He didn't rebuke Thomas. I thought about the times I've struggled in my faith. I'm glad he didn't rebuke me. He didn't rebuke Thomas. He said, Tom, take your hands. Put it into my side, Tom. Tom, look at these nail prints. They put those nails through my hand, Tom. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Now wait. You say, Pastor Benny, what happened to Thomas? He later went to India and established churches all over. The gospel was taken to India because a man by the name of Thomas. When it came time to die, Thomas was killed with spears. A spear being appropriate because it was spears that speared the hand of Jesus and the side of Jesus. Here's what Thomas teaches us. Thomas teaches us we can rebound. You say, Pastor, I've really went through a doubt. I've questioned God. I've questioned this. But the good news is we can rebound. Let me tell you something else. You can rebound where fatality was involved because Job did. where death was involved. I remember one day I stood right here and I preached. And there was a casket of a beautiful little girl right here. And there was a casket of another beautiful little girl right here. And those two girls had died in a house fire. And they said, "We want you to preach the funeral. Two beautiful little girls in a house fire." And I began to think about that mom and dad. I couldn't imagine, I couldn't contemplate what they were feeling. But I want to give you something to think about. There was a man in the Bible that we just push over. His name was Job. He lost 10 children at one time. Can you imagine? 10 children at one time. Some of you say, "Pastor, I know what it is to lose a child. And my heart goes out," but can you imagine 10 children? How do you rebound from that? But apparently a man by the name of Job said, "I've got to rebound." And he said, "Though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him." He said, "The only way I can get past this is trust God. I don't understand it here. I may not never understand it here. But the only way I can get past it, the only way I can rebound is to trust God." Because I want you to understand something. If you read the book of Job, 25 times he asked why. Why? Why, God? But he finally reached that point that he said, "God, even if you take me, I'm going to trust you." A beautiful verse, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you that are going through a tough time. Isaiah 45, verse 3. God said, "I will give you treasures. I'll give you treasures of darkness." God's saying, when you're going through tough times, I'll give you treasures in the darkness if you'll just look for them. Let me tell you another one. Jonah, he rebounded where the flock of God was involved. Jonah rebounded where the church was involved. I don't know who's listening to me today, but I'd say to that pastor, that Christian worker, you say, "I've messed up, Brother Benny. My ministry's done." No, it's not. I believe you can rebound. I believe you can rebound. See, I believe this, folks. You say, "But I've messed up bad." This is what I believe. I believe the greater the fall, the higher the bounce. I believe the harder the fall, the higher the bounce. Some of you are afraid I'm going to fall off this platform. I'm not. I just believe the higher the fall, the greater the fall, the higher the bounce. God said to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh. Go down there and preach the gospel." Jonah said, "Oh no. They worship a fish god. I don't want to go down there. They worship a fish god, and by the way, they're Gentiles." And he was prejudiced. And he said, "I don't want to take the gospel. I'm a Jew. I don't want to take the gospel to Gentiles." He was prejudiced. Listen to me very closely, folks. You'll never convince me, and I'm not going to camp here. You're never going to convince me that you can love God with all your heart and be prejudiced to somebody because of their race. No, you're never going to convince me of that. I don't understand. I just don't understand, folks. There's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand why I eat 3 square meals and end up round. I just don't understand. But I don't understand why we can go to football games together, and why we can go to basketball games together, why we can go to restaurants together, why we can go everywhere together, but we can't go to church together. I just don't understand that. I just don't understand that. And I believe one day when we stand before God, God's going to say, I never meant for there to be a white church. I never meant for there to be a black church. I just meant for there to be the church. He said, go down there. And Jonah said, I'm not going. It's only 500 miles. I'm not going. And you know the story. From the time you was a little boy, girl, he got swallowed up by a whale. Listen, somebody said, Pastor Benny, do you have any problem? Listen. If God had said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that. Somebody said, I have a real problem with the virgin birth. I don't have a big problem with the virgin birth. You said, well, there was no father involved. Get real. God created Adam and there was no father or mother involved. Amen? God can do anything. You know, Jonah backslid, goes down there and won't even stay on the whale's belly, gets vomited out. But get this. Jonah 3:1 says, and the word came to Jonah the second time. And he goes down there and 600,000 in Nineveh give their lives to Christ because the word of God came to him the second time. Oh, folks, I want to say to the preacher, I want to say to that Christian worker, your ministry's not over. God's word comes to us the second time and the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. Your ministry's not over. God's still going to use you. You just got to rebound. Let me give you one other. Peter rebounded where failure was involved. Well, Peter, goodness, his mouth got him in trouble. Amen? It really did. Somebody said, Preacher, I can't believe the things you say from the pulpit. You wouldn't believe what I don't say from the pulpit. Amen? That comes to my mind. Peter said, Jesus, they all forsake you, but you can depend on old Pete. And Jesus said, get real. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And you know, he did just what Jesus said. You said, Brother Benny, was that the end of Peter? No. Peter recommitted. Peter rebounded. And on Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 were saved. He wrote books in the New Testament. He was the leader of the apostles. Why? Because he rebounded. Because he rebounded. I want to tell you, the secret to life is being a rebounder. See, I know people that live their lives, folks. They went through a bad marriage and they constantly beat themselves up. Constantly beating themselves up. Let me tell you something. God wants us to rebound from that. God wants us to rebound from that. You can't saw sawdust. God wants us to rebound from that. Sure, you pastor, have you had a lot of failures? A lot of failures. If I could go back and parent again, I'd do a lot of things different. I'd do a lot of things different. I'm praying. I'm saying, God, I know I messed up as a parent, but God, I won't mess up as a grandparent if you'll give me about four. Think about this. Here I am, the pastor of Rock Springs Church and thousands of people. There was a man who said, you're not too dumb to learn. I said to that man, you don't understand. I barely got through school. He said, you're not too dumb to learn. You're smart. Get in Bible college. I'm preaching on street corners. He says, you can do more than preach on street corners. You can do more than preach in rescue missions. You can do more than preach in nursing homes. You can have a big church. But you got to get you an education, Benny. I said, I can't learn. He said, yes, you can. And he said, I'll pay for it. And he did pay for it. And his name was Don Mason. And my mother happened to be his fourth wife. They may not be a Rock Springs church as we know it, had it not been for a man who was married four times. You tell me God doesn't use people that have messed up. You tell me God doesn't help people to rebound. You tell me we can't begin again. You tell me there's no such thing as rebounding. You got to me too late. Now look, I played a little basketball. I wasn't good. It's my sermon. If I need any help, I'll let you know. Listen, I wasn't good. Our team, this is a true story, we went 0-11, and we weren't as good as our record. I mean, we were 0-11. But I learned something, folks. I learned the secret to winning in basketball is you got to rebound. You got to learn to rebound. And to rebound, you got to do three things. Number one, you got to get in the right position. If you're going to rebound, you got to get in the right position. Now listen closely. When I'm talking about getting in the right position, the first place you got to do is if you're going to rebound, you got to get in the gym. You can't rebound if you don't get in the gym. You say, what are you talking about? Some of you, if you want to rebound, you got to get in the gym. And the problem is, you don't come to church. You don't come to church. And if you're going to be a rebounder, you got to get in the gym. You got to get in the gym. What are you talking about, Pastor? Now listen, folks. You say, well, you don't understand. You're a madman with all the COVID stuff going on. Hey, get real. No, I'm not a madman. We've got 92,000 at Sanford Stadium. Every World Series game will be sold out. You can't get into a restaurant without a long wait. You go to Wally World and you meet everybody. You go to Home Depot, you meet everybody. But when it comes to church, I can't go. Something's wrong with that picture. Something's wrong with that picture. Get real. We're not, you're not home, sir. You say, are you talking to me? If your phone's ringing, pick it up. You're not home today out of health. You're home out of habit. And you've got used to staying home. We got to get in the right position. Now, I know this much about rebounding. If you're going to rebound, you got to put a body on somebody. You got to put a body on somebody. You can't put a body on somebody if you're at home always watching your phone by yourself. Oh, nasty letters this week. You want to rebound? You got to get in the right position. You got to get back to serving. You got to get back to what you were doing before. You got to get back to living for Jesus. You got to get back to getting in your Bible. You got to get back to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to get back in the choir. You got to get back to ushering. You got to get back to serving. You got to get back to your position. I'm sorry for getting anointed, but let me say this, folks. If the devil had his way, he'll close the church door. I'm sorry. So we got to get in the right position. I'll tell you something else, folks. When I played basketball, I was always 4 foot nothing. But I do know this. If you're going to rebound, you got to bend your knees. Yeah, yeah. If you're going to rebound, you got to bend those knees. What are you talking about, Pastor? Here's what I'm talking about. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You say, Pastor, I've messed up. Let me tell you something. You're not going to rebound till you bend those knees. You're not going to rebound till you bend those knees. We got to get in the right position. We got to bend our knees. But then there's a third thing we got to do. I'm almost done. If you're going to rebound, you got to raise your hands. If you're going to rebound, now I'm not saying, well, what I'm trying to say, folks, when I say, well, and by the way, let me just make this statement, folks. Let me just say this. It's biblical. When you look around you and you say, I don't know why all these people are raising their hands. I'll tell you why they are. Bonsai. Pretty clear. Lift your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Oh, you say, Brother Benny, I don't want to do that. People will think I'm a holy roller. Listen, folks, I'd rather roll into heaven than slide into hell. Amen. Here's all I want to say. If you're searching for a dead, lifeless church and pastor, this is not the place. You say, Brother Benny, why are you so passionate about? I can tell you're passionate today. Because I deal with so many people that just beat themselves up. They tell themselves, I'm a terrible mama. I'm a terrible dad. I'm a terrible husband because of a failure. But failure's an event, it's not a person. And failure doesn't have to be final. If you're not dead, God's not done. And listen, I don't know why I'm saying this, but that person that walked out of your life is not going to determine your future anyway. Your destiny's not connected to the people who walked out. Your destiny's not connected to the people that walked out. You know, I often tell, and I'll tell this story and I'll wrap up. I often tell about my second church I pastored was Sweetin' Hill Church. I started with 13 people and it grew to 300. I left the church at its height and came here. Doesn't make a lot of sense to leave 300 and come to 25, but that's what actually happened, folks. You see, that's a beautiful story. But you know, I don't talk a lot about the first church. See, I pastored a first one too. So, Pastor, what happened to it? It closed. And my leadership, some of the things I did was instrumental in it closing. And it would have been easy to say, I'm not going to pastor again. But what I do, I just tried to learn from it. I just tried to say I can rebound. And folks, if I can rebound, you can rebound. We can all rebound. Amen. We can all rebound. And we can begin again. And though we cannot go back and make a brand new start, we can begin right now and make a brand new end.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.